In the summertime, I find myself thinking more. I think it's probably because we have more downtime, and when I have downtime, I can't shut my brain off. I'm constantly problem solving, thinking, and dreaming, and I wonder if you can relate to that. And perhaps one of the things that you are thinking about during your teacher summer break is, what is my next step professionally? Where do I see myself as a teacher and as a professional next year, in the next 5 years, and in the next 10 years? And I don't think it comes as a shock that right now education is struggling and people are considering leaving the profession at a rapid rate. In fact, that's why I have decided to re-release this as a bonus replay episode. Back in May, I released one titled Three Reasons Why Teachers Are Leaving, plus solutions on how to solve the problem if you are stressed or struggling. Perhaps you and your spouse or significant other or kids have had a hard discussion this summer about, am I going to return in the fall? Am I going to begin another year of teaching? I want you to know if you've had that conversation, you are not alone, but I think this episode is exactly what you need to hear right now. Because in this episode, I lay it all out there. I give us some important things to consider, some important things to think about, and strategies and solution if you're finding yourself stressed and struggling. This is definitely not a lighthearted episode, but I think it's one that our heart needs right here, right now. So, I hope you're enjoying your summer break. Let's roll into this really helpful episode. Teachers, I've got some facts to drop on you in today's episode, because I was recently reading some research where they looked at teacher turnover. And in every single state that they studied, the teacher turnover rate has increased in the past 2 years. Supposedly, the average prior to COVID was about 10%. And what that meant was that for every 10 teachers in your school, one of those would not return the next year. Now, whether they were not returning because they were leaving the profession, or whether they were leaving to go to a different school, or just a change of scenery, was kind of undetermined. But what that shows is, for one in every 10 teachers, there was going to be some inconsistency the following year, because you're going to get somebody new to the building or new to the profession. And we understand as teachers, when you can't get momentum with colleagues, it's really difficult to get momentum with your whole school and certainly with your students. Well, what they found is that average has gone up, not from 1 out of 10 teachers isn't coming back, but 1.5 out of 10 teachers. Now, obviously, you can't have a half teacher. I know sometimes it feels like we're half-assing the profession, but what that means is more inconsistency. And also what that means is that a lot of positions are not going to be rehired for, therefore they're going to be absorbed. So what does this mean? It means that teachers are leaving at a faster rate. And what I want to do in this episode is talk about the three main reasons why teachers are leaving, why that number has gone up, but more importantly, give solutions on how to solve the stress in schools. This is not going to be an episode that is naturally filled with positivity. I want to give you a warning on that, but I also want you to know that it is not going to be just this complaining, negative Nancy situation either. I want to come to you with facts, but I also want to come to you in a place where we can figure out what to do if you feel like you are getting ready to leave, that you've hit the turning point in your career and you are saying, I just can't do it anymore. I want you to walk away from this episode with practical solutions on how you can reclaim the joy that is part of this teacher journey. Super excited for this episode. Let's get into it. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. Teacher friends, let's play a little Family Feud, one of my favorite game shows of all time. Let's pretend like I surveyed 100 teachers and the top three answers are on the board. I actually surveyed way more than 100 teachers, but I have the top three reasons why teachers say they are either leaving or why they are wanting to leave the profession. So teachers were surveyed, top three answers are on the board. Think about what those answers would be. Think maybe about what you are currently experiencing. If you have found yourself questioning next year whether you're going to return, what your plan for your profession is as we move forward into the next years, what are the things that are causing you to question your journey? Well, after conducting research, there were three main answers. And it was wild because each of these three answers was given about 33.3% of the time. So these are very balanced reasons. And the first one that maybe you are considering that you're like, oh, that's definitely got to be one of the top answers, was that they were underappreciated. That they didn't get the kind of recognition and or resources that they know that they need in order to feel like they're doing a good job and also to actually help them do a great job. So oftentimes people said, like, I just don't feel like my principal even has a pulse on what teachers need and want. And I definitely don't want to throw principals under the bus, because for every person who responded to my survey that saying my principal is so out of touch with reality, I had two other people say, Monica, my principal's really, really good. So this is not about bad leadership, because I think, of course, there are principals out there who have no business being a principal, but I think there are teachers out there who have no business being a teacher. Same thing with nurses and cops and doctors. We're going to find that in every single profession. So I want to praise principals because I think they do a great job, but it looked like about one in three people said, my principal is trying, but they're overwhelmed. They don't really know what to do, and they have a hard time listening and problem solving, and they make me feel unappreciated. They also talked about parents, how parents are just not what they once were, that like instead of calling a parent and seeking support and seeking understanding, the parent would attack them and say, well, this is your fault. And the parent would throw them under the bus. So they're saying, I'm just feeling super underappreciated by both parents and principals. And also, I don't have the right resources. It's really difficult to get my hands on the curriculum that I need. It's really difficult to get the textbooks or the technology that I would need or want in order to do a good job in today's educational environment. They were saying, Monica, I would take even less money if somebody reminded me consistently that I was doing a good job. If I knew that even though this job is hard, that I just got the pat on the back, the praise that I deserve a little bit more consistently. And I wonder if you're feeling that too. Are you feeling that the lack of support and the lack of resources is really taking a toll on what you are trying to do with kids on a daily basis? Well, let's go back to our Family Feud question. What was an answer that came up a lot as well? Stress. Just teacher stress and teacher overwhelm. And what was interesting about that is that kind of went into two different directions. Because as I was kind of like looking through this data, the stress was coming from two separate directions. The stress was coming from the fact that most teachers feel like they are doing the jobs of multiple people at a time. Also, the other part of that was that there's more stress because student numbers have gone up. Class size has gone up. And as I started thinking about that, like that made sense. Because even in my own district, we are constantly absorbing positions. Somebody will leave, right? Like somebody will say, I'm not coming back next year. And we are trying to creatively figure out how can we just not rehire for that position. And when that happens, that puts extra stress on those of us who are still here, right? That means we are taking the roles and the responsibilities of the teachers who are leaving. And that also means that the number of kids in our class is going to increase. And what does that cause? Stress. Think about your current situation. Even if you've only taught for a few years, is the number of kids you are currently teaching higher than what it was? The answer for me is absolutely yes. I teach in a small rural district, and one of the beautiful things about a small rural district is you generally have smaller class numbers. Well, that just wasn't the case for me this year. My class numbers are the highest that they have ever been while teaching in this small district. Why? Well, because I had to take on the role of multiple teachers. A bunch of my position was absorbed last year because somebody didn't return to the math department. And so I took on that role and responsibility. So I want you to know that the stress that you are feeling because you are taking on so many different things and spinning so many plates and wearing so many hats is real. So are you feeling that stress? Is that the top thing that is causing you to question, am I going to be one of the people who doesn't return? The projections for next year are that it moves from 1 in 5 teachers aren't returning to 2 teachers out of 10 are not returning. Can we just take a step back and think about that? Like, I want you to think about your hallway. Do you have approximately 10 teachers in your hallway or in your little cul-de-sac of your school or whatever? So 10 people teaching, right? And we know our teacher friends pretty well. We know our teacher colleagues pretty well. Can you imagine that 2 out of 10 aren't going to be there next year? How does that change the climate and the culture of your little cul-de-sac in your school? What does that mean for next year when there's somebody new, somebody fresh, which we love, but we do lose momentum? It's like we can't quite get our footing right because it's constantly like we are teaching in a revolving door. Is that something that you would say is your top stressor right now? Ironic, right? That teacher stress is your top stressor. Well, that leads us to the third most given answer. And I think this one is predictable, which is why I left it for last, but I really want to dive into it. One of the number one reasons why teachers are leaving is because of the money. But I want a huge, like, dot, dot, dot. I want a huge, like, footnote on this. I don't think teachers are leaving education because of the money, because I think we knew when we entered the profession what our salary would be. I think teachers are leaving education because they're now doing the jobs of multiple people and experiencing the stress of multiple roles, which we talked about, but still getting paid the same amount, right? Like if you absorbed another teacher's position, let's say that the annual salary at your school, let's just say it's $50,000. That might be way more than what you're currently getting paid. That is very much higher than the average in my school, but that's close to the national average, okay? So let's say that one classroom teacher's salary in your building is $50,000. And then next year, That position goes away, and you and one other teacher absorb that. Well, wouldn't that make sense that your teacher salary should go up to $75,000? Because that teacher is gone, so their salary is no longer getting paid out, and you and one other person are absorbing that. So that $50,000 should be divided between the two of you, right? Which would make your new salary $75,000. That's just math. That's just how it should work. And it's almost laughable because you are sitting here listening to me like, yeah, right, that would never happen. Why? That happens in other professions. In fact, when people said, Monica, I'm leaving for the money, but it's not because the teacher's salary, it's because I can go and work less hours and get the same salary somewhere else. If I'm making $50,000 as a teacher, I can go make $50,000 working as a secretary or working at a company and have no papers to grade, no planning to do, no calling upset parents after school hours. When I leave work, I leave work. And we as teachers understand that, like, there's really no on and off switch. And some of us have learned the art to turning on and turning off. Like, turning on our teacher brain and turning off our teacher brain is a real skill set. And if we're able to do it, congratulations, because it's really difficult to do. But people are saying, like, no, I'm not seeking more money. I'm seeking to make the same amount of money. I'm seeking to make a teacher salary without all the extra. So it's really interesting, right? Because if we break down these three things, teachers are sad and feeling stuck because we are underappreciated. We have so much stress. And the money is not really balancing the momentum that we would hope to have at this point in our career. I'm not saying that every profession feels appreciated every day. I'm not saying that there is no stress in other jobs, and I'm not saying it's all about the money. In fact, I recently talked about this on Twitter, and then I talked about this on like an Instagram post, and it was funny because teachers were very supportive of this concept and was like, yes, preach, absolutely. And then the internet trolls came out and started saying things like, welcome to the real world, I got stress in my job. Or like, wow, you are such a complainer, I hope my kid never has you as a teacher. Like, the trolls came out. And here's what I wanted to say. What grade do you teach? Because I don't think that you can be hating on a thought and opinion that is backed up by thousands upon thousands of teachers if you've never taught. If you are a manager at a Walmart troll on the internet, I'm not saying that your job is harder or easier than mine. I wasn't doing this podcast episode or creating that tweet as this like pissing match on who's got a harder job. That wasn't my point. And I think that's sometimes how we are perceived as teachers, is like, well, I wouldn't complain if I had my summers off. No one's saying you would. The point here is this, that as a profession, we are underappreciated. As a profession, we are stressed out. And as a profession, the money and what we manage is not aligned. And that might exist in other professions as well. But what is different is this. Our profession makes every other profession possible. That's the difference. I'm not saying one is better or one is worse. What I'm saying is, if classroom teachers didn't exist, what job would? And I'll wait. Like, literally, tell me. Because I can't think of a single job that exists if somebody doesn't have interpersonal skills and can't read and can't write and can't do math and can't have like some basic executive functioning skills, right? It is not just about the reading scores and the math scores. Like the things that are learned in school that we do to teach and reach kids every day impact everyone on this planet on a life level. And I want to freaking applaud us and say, what can we do to keep us here? Because I promise that this episode wasn't just going to be why we're leaving. I wanted it to also be about solutions on how to solve the issues in school. And that's exactly what we're going to do in the second part of this episode. So stick around. One of my favorite things to do as an educator is to come to the table with positivity, perspective, solutions, strategies, ideas, and so much motivation to make sure that we as teachers are living the best possible teacher life that we can. It's the exact reason why I do this podcast, and it's the exact reason why I created something called the Awesome Academy for Teachers. The Awesome Academy for Teachers is a way to equip every single one of us with ideas and motivation and solutions and lesson plans and outside of the box thinking to help us crush it in the classroom. And the cool thing is, the Awesome Academy for the 2023-2024 school year is officially open. If you haven't heard about the Awesome Academy before, it is 4 virtual, fun, flexible PD courses that is built to help us have an incredible school year. In fact, I think if you are a part of the Awesome Academy, you can have your best school year to date. If you find yourself questioning, can I continue to be a teacher? I think that the Awesome Academy is for you. If you are a teacher who's like, girl, I'm loving life right now, I've found my teacher momentum, guess what? The Awesome Academy is for you, because it's all about coming together and saying, let's celebrate education, let's learn some bomb strategies, and we can earn up to 60 hours worth of PD credit by participating in these fun, flexible virtual courses. The first course is not starting until September, so you have time to get registered, but you also can secure your spot, because this is something that has filled up in the past. You can check out monicagenta.com/Awesome Academy to get registered and to check out more about this awesome opportunity. I'm going to drop a direct link to the Awesome Academy in the show notes, but I want you to check it out and make sure that next year is your best school year yet. I can't wait for you to learn and grow in the Awesome Academy with me. Check out monicagenta.com/Awesome Academy to learn more. So what is the big solution to teachers leaving the profession? What is the big solution on how to solve all of the things that are happening in schools right now? Well, spoiler alert, there is no such thing as the perfect school. There is no such thing as the perfect profession. There is no such thing as the perfect teacher placement. If you are looking for a teaching position or a position in education where you feel appreciated every single day and you feel no stress and you are raking in a top salary, I'm not being pessimistic, but I want us to have the perspective and understand that that's not gonna happen. The good news is, I think that we can have 2 out of the 3. Here's what I mean by that. I think what we have to do as individual teachers is figure out which of the 2 of those are most important to us on a life level. If you are wanting a higher salary than what you currently have, and you are wanting to feel appreciated by parents and principals, that teaching position exists somewhere. It does. And do you know how you find it? You ask somebody who's in that building. Because we as teachers are brutally honest. We will tell each other like, hey, yeah, my principal is so great. They are so supportive. They will also tell you, like, hey, this is a really hardcore district. Like, they really expect a lot out of you. So of the three things, more money, less stress, or more appreciation, what are the two things that you are seeking right now? And then what are you going to do to pursue that? If you are currently wanting to leave the profession, have you considered leaving your school or leaving your subject area or leaving that hallway to find something different? So here's the thing. Let me give you an example. Maybe you are currently satisfied with the money that you are making at your current teacher job, but you are wanting less stress and more appreciation. Is it because maybe you're in the wrong content area? Is it maybe because you have taught seventh grade social studies for 20 years and you need something different? Go find that. Maybe you are saying, Monica, I'm in a super high paying district. Super high paying district. Maybe the most in your area. But the expectations are just absurd. I feel like they are micromanaging everything. I feel like it's run like a business and I don't want it to feel like that. Maybe you're in a situation where you're saying, I would take a pay cut if the stress was lower and the appreciation was higher. I get that. Sometimes smaller, more rural schools are the answer to that. Here's a real life example. So a friend of mine used to work in Ohio, and very high paying district in Ohio, and loved it. Was a fifth grade teacher, and she just absolutely loved it. Had great teacher friends, was really connected, really loved the students, but the stress was real. Because it was a very high performing school and a high paying district in a very affluent area, the expectations were super high and the appreciation was super low. So I was talking with this teacher friend of mine and I was like, what's important to you? And she's like, I just want to go in and teach. I know that I'm a great teacher. I don't need to be micromanaged. I don't need access to like every curriculum under the sun. I want to go in and I want to love what I do. And I don't care if that means I'm taking a pay cut. And so this teacher went and said, I'm even willing to move, like major move, and went from teaching in Ohio to teaching in California at a charter school in California, took a big pay cut when you consider the cost of living in California, but went from having 25 students in a classroom to having 12 students in a classroom, having a much more flexible schedule because that school is not even open on Fridays, is able to hike and do the things that she loves on a weekly basis, and is much happier. Did it take a huge sacrifice? Yeah. The teacher literally moved a U-Haul across the country to relocate, but has had an incredible year. I know that as humans, we want everything to be perfect, myself included. Please know that, like, as I am asking you these questions, I'm asking myself what's most important as well. It's hard because we want good salary, less stress, and more appreciation. We want all of those things. And I wish that we lived in a world and chose a profession where that was just easy. Things aren't always going to be easy. But things are going to be worth it when we prioritize our wants and needs. So the question is, what do you want right now? And what do you need right now? Are those aligned? If not, how can you find alignment in that and find the quote perfect placement for you right now? Because what was perfect for me in my 20s as a teacher is no longer perfect for me in my 30s, which is why I switched districts. Am I going to retire from the district that I am in right now? Probably not. Not because something big and awful has happened or will happen in my current school district, but I think that there are different phases in our lives. And we have to ask ourselves on an annual basis, what do I need to do to feel whole and happy? So what do you need? What do you need to make sure that you are doing so you don't leave the profession, and how you de-stress your time in your school? And maybe you're at a place where you're like, Monica, it's not about the money. It's not about the stress. It's not about the appreciation. I just need something completely different. I think what's interesting is the number of teacher turnover has increased. But what I want to read is the studies that have been done for the teachers who've left the profession for a year. And after a year, I've said, my life is so much better. Or teachers who have left for a year and said, I miss it, and I came back. I think studies are going to be done on that really soon, and I cannot wait to dive into that data. I think we have a few examples of that right now, but like, I want to know 5 years down the road, people who are genuinely happy that they left and are living their best lives, and people who left, tried it out, kudos to them, but then said, I missed it, I love it, I want to be a teacher again. Where do you fall? There isn't a right or wrong answer. Teacher guilt is a massive thing. It is. Because we have such like this connection to what we do on a daily basis. But I want you to know that there is the quote, perfect placement possible for you. Is it gonna take some hard choices? Yes. Is it going to cause you to shed a few tears and sit down and crunch numbers and fill out applications and think about, you know, what is this going to look like curricularly and financially and mentally and physically? Yes. But sometimes it takes a little bit of heart to find something that's a whole lot better. And I think you're going to find that. And I'm super excited for you. And I'm cheering you on. And if the this is better for me includes you going back into schools next year as a teacher, then I want to invite you to participate in the Awesome Academy for Teachers, that 4-course PD series that is going to help you have your best school year yet. Maybe the 2022-2023 school year has been your worst year yet. This unexpected hard that you never saw coming. Well, guess what? I genuinely believe that the 2023-2024 school year can be your best school year yet. If you have examined your heart and head and said, I'm going back for another year, and you want it to be your best year to date, let's hang out in the Awesome Academy next year. I'm serious. I think it'll be PD that you need, PD that's good for your heart and your head, and I think you are going to be blown away by the ideas and the strategies and the motivation that come out of it. You are going to live your best teacher life, and I would love to be your guide on the side into making that happen. Friends, I hope this episode has made you feel like you're not alone. I hope this episode has kind of calmed your fears and calmed your nerves that there is happiness on the other side of hard. I want to thank you for listening. Make sure you click subscribe so these episodes are getting automatically downloaded so you can check them out each week. I want to thank you for being here, but most importantly, thank you for living this teacher life.